Well, hey, good morning, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. I hope your week is off to a great start. Hope you're having a good day so far. And again, thanks for just joining us. We appreciate that. This past Sunday, we were in chapter 19 across all of our campuses as we continue in this label series, walking through the Gospel of Luke. And where I really focused in on chapter 19 was this verse that I think really clarifies the purpose and the mission of Jesus. Time and time again, I think we've seen over the series, the expectation of the Jews was that Jesus was going to march into Jerusalem, overthrow the enemies of the Jews, and establish this powerful earthly kingdom that the Jews would get to reign alongside Jesus within. And Jesus, over and over again, says, no, the kingdom that I'm establishing is here and now. It's spiritual. It's in your midst. But it's a different type of kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, at least as of now. And so in chapter 19, what we see is that Jesus is, he's on the final pit stop, in a sense, on his way to Jerusalem. The Jews believed that when the Messiah reached Jerusalem, that's when he would establish this earthly kingdom. And so what we see in chapter 19 is that he's entering Jericho, and Jericho is the last stop. It's about a 6-hour walk from Jericho to Jerusalem. And so what they believe is, like, he's right there. And along the way, though, Jesus stops and he saves this guy named Zacchaeus, who everybody would have hated. And you just have to imagine, it's like, Jesus, you're 6 hours away from Jerusalem. Zacchaeus, we hate you anyway. Could you get out of the way? I mean, you know, they essentially say just that. They grumble to themselves when Jesus saves Zacchaeus, and they grumble to themselves that Jesus would go into the house of a sinner. That's what we see in verse 7. And it's that little tension point of just such a misunderstanding of the mission of Christ. Jesus, again, clarifies that mission in verse 10 when he says the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, but they just didn't get that. And I think it's a tragedy if we don't get that. If we think faith in Jesus means, just trying to do the right things, having a good, comfortable life, and getting to be a part of some cool things. And while I think following the wisdom of Scripture and the things that Scripture tells us to do will set us up for success in life, there's so much more than that. Jesus goes on to tell us a parable in the middle section of the chapter here, beginning in verse 11. And essentially the point of the parable, I believe, is to say, hey, again, my mission is to seek and to save the lost. And pretty soon here, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to ascend into heaven after I rise from the grave. I'm going to be made king and rule over all things, which is present tense, currently happening. Jesus is reigning and ruling. And we, if we have faith in Jesus, are a part of his spiritual kingdom. And what Jesus says is, hey, I'm going to, you know, in the parable, he gives these servants an equal amount of money. It's called mina or minna, however you want to pronounce that. And because everybody gets an equal amount, I think we can understand this investment or this giving as the message of the gospel, meaning all of us have received the message of the gospel if we are Christians. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, in the time I have ascended into heaven, and between that time and the time I return, which will one day happen, your responsibility is to multiply the gospel. Your responsibility is to take the message that you have believed in, that every Christian has received, and your job is, in the time that I'm ascended into heaven, in the time I return, your job is to continue my mission to seek and to save the lost. And I pray that that is like glasses to those who need corrective vision, that is like glasses to our soul, right? That it is instantly clarifying on what our mission is. This life is about ultimately making much of Christ through the multiplication of the gospel in and through our lives. That is our job. That is our priority. Now, that does not mean every single person needs to be a pastor. Not true. That is not true that every single person needs to go overseas on mission trips. That does not mean that you're not being a good Christian unless you're doing X amount of things in the church. Now, all of those things are wonderful. If God is calling you to overseas missions, you better be obedient, right? And there are so many needs within the life of the church that step into. God wants to use you in those. But I think sometimes what happens is we we compartmentalize the gospel in our life. And when we compartmentalize the gospel, we miss out on so much of what God is doing around us. You see, in the parable, Jesus gives the message of the gospel, the money in a sense, to three different servants. The first two servants, when Jesus comes back, they give an account of how they have multiplied the gospel. The third servant, he says, well, I tucked it away because I was fearful in a sense. And Jesus rebukes this servant. And, it's not a good picture. And I think, and so often what happens is we, like that servant, we hide the gospel away only to be seen 1 or 2 hours a week. And if that's sort of the extent of our life with Jesus, I just want to encourage us to more. There are people all around you who need to hear this message, and there are people all around who are craving to hear this message, even if they don't know it. And the wonderful thing I think we see throughout the Bible, and that is said here in this text as well, is that as we seek to multiply the gospel in and through our lives, it's not up to us to change somebody's heart. It's not up to us to change somebody's behavior. What's extraordinary is that the heart transformation happens through the power of the gospel in and of itself, the Holy Spirit working in someone's heart. And yet you and I, we serve as the primary instruments by which that gospel is shared. And so I think that's freeing, because suddenly we don't have to have the pressure of how people respond necessarily. And sure, how we say things, if we do things through relationship versus yelling at people on a bullhorn through, you know, on the street corner, you know, those things make a difference. But at the same time, if we step into these opportunities and moments that are all around us, as I believe they are, the wonderful peace, I think, that comes in understanding changing someone's heart isn't up to me, but that frees us to step into moments and to say, Jesus, use my workplace. Jesus, use my relationships, whatever you need to do to bring people to yourself. I am an instrument. I'm a tool ready to be used in your hands. And so that's really what we talked about on Sunday. And I hope that's an encouragement to you, that the life that Jesus is calling you into is one of gospel multiplication. It's one of meaningful work. It's one of seeing God show up in and through your life before you and changing people's lives. And we get to be firsthand witnesses to the glory of God as he does that. And that leads us to worship of him. And that is just extraordinary. So I want to encourage you into that today. If you didn't get a chance to read chapter 19 in its entirety this past week, I would encourage you to do that. Go ahead and look through that parable. Just look at the context, what's going on. There's so much in there. So I want to pray for us today, just that we would faithfully step into the moments and opportunities that God is giving us. And again, I want to say thank you for joining us on the Drivecast today. We'll hope we'll see you again tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you that you've given us your word that instructs us on how it is we should live and gives us, I think, clarity on the purpose of our lives, that we are not to sort of tuck away this incredible message that you've given us, but we are to unleash it into every aspect of our lives. Would you give us wisdom on how to do that? Because that's hard and we understand that. And as we do that, I pray that you would help us see you working in front of us, you doing what we cannot, and we would worship you as a result. Father, save people. Help us be a part of your mission that continues today to seek and to save the lost. Help us not build up our own kingdoms and desire our power, but help us desire your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We love you. It's in Christ's name that I pray.